You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
1 Corinthians chapter 2. Woo! I'm excited to be here. How about you? You know, I just decided I'm just going to be happy. I'm just going to get excited. Hallelujah. Wherever I am, He's with me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you even to the ends of the earth. I mean, if you're going to get down, it's your own fault. If you're going to get upset, it's your fault. There's nobody to blame but you. That sounded real excited. I know y'all are real happy to hear that. But the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's a choice. That's a decision on your part. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You don't let it be troubled. You don't let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and I go prepare a place for you, and where I am, I'll come back and receive you into myself. And he went on to say, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the way to heaven. He's the way to joy. He's the way to peace. He's the way to victory. This is a broken world we live in, and we get sucker punched. You cut us, we bleed. I understand that. We get hurt, you know, and this is not heaven. We're not in heaven. But we can heal. We can recover. We can get back up on our feet. Hallelujah. I'm sorry to tell you that you can make it, but you can. If you wanted to go under, you came to the wrong church. If you wanted to find out how miserable you are and how you could not ever get back on your feet again, you're at the wrong church. Listen, we believe that God can handle your situation. We believe that God loves you and He cares for you. We believe that if you'll come to Him, He'll hear you and He'll answer you, and you can get back on your feet again. You may get hurt. You may have something happen. Crisis does happen to all. Mountains may loom on your horizon, but I know someone greater than your mountain. Hallelujah. I know someone bigger than your pain. His name is Jesus. Woo! Excuse me for getting excited. I'll just preach to myself. Hallelujah. And God is a miracle-working God. I mean, come on. This is not just some idea or concept or just philosophy or religion amongst many other religions. This is not just, this is not just mind over matter. We're not talking about that. This is not just daily readings. We come to church to read the Bible. Well, you should read your Bible. And we're going to preach out of the Bible. I understand that. But this is not a newspaper. Are you with me? This is God's Word. Woo! 1 Corinthians. Y'all found it? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I'm not here to impress. I'm not here to razzle and dazzle. I'm not here to sway you over with elocution and execution. I don't like that word execution. That has a bad connotation. But anyway, I'm not here to impress you with just big words and be rather verbose here today. I'm razzling and dazzling right now, aren't I? Paul said, I didn't come to do that, and there's nobody smarter than Paul in his day. Nobody more educated amongst the apostles than Paul. Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrew, a Jew of the Jews, studied under Gamaliel. I mean, Paul knew the scripture backwards and forward. Paul knew several languages. Paul was intelligent. Are you with me? Paul was, could execute and speak out the word in just an amazing way. I mean, he could bring in all kinds of types and shadows and sound super, super intelligent. But he knows what he says. Of all the apostles, the most intelligent of all of them, he said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I love that. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The real power of God. I love that. You know, this is real. This is not Buddha. This is not Muhammad. This is not even Moses or Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Daniel. These are not just good men we're talking about. These are not just prophets we're talking about. This is Jesus, the Son of the living God. A living, breathing entity. Jesus came to this earth. God became flesh. He wasn't just born in a manger. He didn't just live a sinless life. He didn't just give us a better way or example. He didn't just teach us, lead us, guide us. He died for our sins. Hallelujah. Beat and conquered hell, death, and the grave, and arose victorious, a warrior, Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's who we're talking about here. Not some mamby-pamby, just, you know, sweet little Jesus, sweet little baby in the manger. We celebrate that. I understand that. But see, that didn't save your sins. And him living a good life, that didn't save your sins either. Him conquering hell, death, and the grave, that saved your sins. Him shedding his blood on the cross, dying and rising again, and the tomb is empty, hallelujah, and he's coming again. Woo! Excuse me while I have a Holy Ghost moment here. Think about it. It's not about just being smart. It's not about just being educated. Thank God for education. Thank God for elocution. Thank God for things being accurate and concise. And I want it to be accurate. I want it to be scriptural. I want sermons and messages to be laid out to where you can look them up in the Bible and prove them. You shouldn't just take my word for it. That's not what Paul's saying here. But it's more than that. It's more than just having an accurate message. It's more than just having the words laid out right. It's more than just having it being scriptural. We want the power of God. We want the presence of God. We want the anointing of God to come on what is said. I want your ears to be pricked, your heart to burn. I want you to be pulled and tugged by the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? And you should be. You should be. When you come into a service, you ought to sense His presence. When a message is preached, you ought to sense the anointing. Hallelujah. You ought to know this is God's word, not my word. Amen? So he says this. He said, I didn't come to you with just excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Woohoo! Are you with me? In other words, there was power there. There was an anointing there. There was a presence there. There were miracles that took place. There were healings that took place. There were lives changed that took place. You know, we'd be here all day and all through the night and all tomorrow if we had each one of you stand up here and begin to testify what God has done in your life, miracles that you've received and prayers that you've had answered. If everybody got up and just talked about being saved, everybody got up and started talking about being baptized with the Holy Ghost, everybody got up and started talking about getting healed or had some miracle deliverance in your life or protection in your life, oh my goodness, we'd be here all week long. We'd be here. In fact, we might be just doing this in heaven for years and years. Just sharing our stories, sharing how God did something, not just some idea of God, some concept of God, but actually how God moved in our lives, how He is a powerful God, an active God, active in our lives today. His power hadn't passed away because He hadn't passed away. His miracles hadn't passed away because He hasn't passed away. Healing hadn't passed away because He hasn't passed away. Are you with me? See, He is a healer. He is a miracle. He is a Savior. He is a forgiver. He is love. And as long as He's around, those things still around because they just emanate from Him. Are you out there, somebody? I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It didn't mean He didn't put sentences together and He didn't make sense when He said things. It didn't mean He didn't use Scripture and He didn't lay it out there. He was just saying He wasn't dependent on all that accuracy and all that intelligence. He wasn't dependent on being a part of the academia or the intelligentsia. Are you out there? He was dependent on the Holy Ghost, on the anointing of God. Amen? You know, there's a story about a guy that got up and he was, you know, a professor and highly educated and had all kinds of courses in speaking and, you know, in how to use your voice to, you know. And he got up and he read the 23rd Psalms and just great eloquence and just wowed the crowd, you know, with the articulation of each verb and each noun and every sentence. And he just went through it all and sat down. And then an old farmer got up, you know, and that was part of the platform. He'd made donations or something. He'd worked all of his life and donated to that college. He got up, and he read Psalms 23 without all the elocution, without all the intelligence, without all the, you know, the theatrics, as it were, but just read it from his heart, and the crowd went wild. The anointing came on, and somebody leaned over and said, that's the difference between knowing the psalm and knowing the psalmist, knowing the author of the psalm. See, there's a difference between the anointing and then just knowing the words, just being able to say the words and just be able to preach a good message, you know. The difference is knowing God. The difference is God having God's presence and his power. You know, when you read these things, and I preach these things, and these promises are laid out before us, we need to connect with them. We need to understand that God meant this. This is his word to us. It's a letter to us. And he really does want to move in our lives. And he really does care about us. I don't get that, but he does. He cares about all of us. And more than I care, more than you care, he cares. If he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. I mean, he loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He went to great lengths so you wouldn't go to hell. Are you with me? So that ought to move us to live for him. Live right. Live holy. Are you with me? Because he did so much for us. And when we're ministering the word, we ought to do it with heart. We ought to do it with passion. We ought to do it with spirit. We ought to do it, you know, with the anointing. I pray God's anointing come on what I say. Not just that I make good points and that you get what I'm saying. I want you to hear God. I want you to hear what God's saying. Because this is his word, not mine. I am just bringing a message. I am not the message. I bring you a message. It's like a guy was introduced. I think it was Charles Capps. Oh, they went on and on when they introduced him, and everybody stood up and clapped, and everything got up there, and he said, I appreciate all the applause. He said, but I wonder if that donkey carrying Jerusalem thought all that applause was for him. He said, I'm just carrying the message here. Jesus is the message. Your applause should be to him. Amen. I thought that was pretty good. So he says this, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not just praying that I get the examples exactly right, or my logic is profound, you know, when I'm explaining all this and making sense of all this. I do my best in that area, but that's nothing. That counts for nothing if God doesn't arrest us, if God doesn't inject himself into the message, if he doesn't touch your heart and pull at you and tug at you. If you don't walk out of here challenged, if you don't walk out of here changed, if you don't walk out of here charged, then the presence of God hasn't been detected. You hadn't detected it. You hadn't got it. Are you with me? This ought to change us. And we ought to come to church with two things in mind. We ought to come hungry. And we ought to come willing to change. I'm hungry for God. I want to hear from heaven. I'm not here to be impressed. Are you with me? I'm not here for everything to fit my idea of the way this should be. I'm not here, to check everybody out. I'm here to hear from heaven. I'm here because I am a Christian. I'm a believer. There's people in church all around this city right now. People that are hungry for God. People that want to know God. They want to get right. They want to get their lives right. They want to do right. They want to honor God and worship him and give him glory and give him honor. Is that you? Are you one of those people? That's what you got to ask yourself. Amen? And if you are, you'll get something. You will. If nobody else gets anything, you will. Because you're hungry and he satisfies the hungry soul. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. So it's nobody else's fault. If you want something, you can get something. Woo! So, why was he saying all that? My speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Fifth verse, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That you're not looking to me to give you something. You're looking to God. Are you with me? You know, I'm not your answer. He is. Hallelujah. And I point to him, and every one of us should point to him. Amen? We shouldn't look to man or look to man's wisdom or look to man's formulas, as it were. No, we look to God. Woo. And our faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of men. I'm going to that church because he's so smart. Well, I understand if you're going to do that, everybody be in this church because I'm the smartest person in town. I'm just kidding. Come on. That's not going to help you. I mean, come on. We need the power of God. Amen. The reality of heaven, a living, active, vibrant God, our Father, that cares about us, loves us, praise God, that's moving and active in our lives today, that hears us when we pray, praise God, that goes with us when we walk out here in this parking lot, that goes home with us when we go home. And when we get there, God gets there because he's in us, never to leave us, nor to forsake us. We don't have to get to the church to hear God. We can hear him all the time. Are you with me? But we are here. We are present to hear the God. Yes, I understand that. But this is an active God. Hallelujah. Our faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith doesn't stand in a philosophy or a concept. Our faith is not in one religion over another religion. Are you kidding me? Moses, listen, Moses was dead and buried. Did you know that? They buried him out there somewhere. We don't know where, but the Bible says he's buried. Muhammad is dead and buried. Buddha is dead and buried. Confucius is dead and buried. But Jesus' tomb is empty. Hallelujah. He arose from the dead. That's the power of God. Amen. Buddha never did a miracle. Muhammad didn't do a miracle. Jesus did miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Raised the dead, cast out devils, healed the sick, cover his sight to the blind. There's a difference here. Christianity is totally different than the other religion. It's not a religion, it's the truth. I'm stirred up. 1 Corinthians 4. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. We got hope. We got hope even when we die. We got hope. Larry, I think of Larry. Larry's in heaven. Hallelujah. I got hope. I know I'm going to see Larry again. I know I am. I know he's in heaven. He's up there shouting the victory. He wouldn't come back from there. Are you kidding me? If you ever stepped over into glory and you got a glimpse of heaven and a glimpse of Jesus, we couldn't get you back. A whole church praying couldn't get you to come back. Man, that's what we've been longing for all of our life. That's where we're going to live forever. That person, Jesus, the one we preached about, the one we've prayed in his name, the one that's helped us and saved us countless times, to look in those eyes, to stand in his presence, that's where Larry is. Praise God, and I've got hope. I know I'll see him again, and I'll see all my loved ones that know the Lord. I know I will see them again. God's up there in heaven. Jesus is up there in heaven. The angels are up there in heaven, and the family of God's up there in heaven waiting on us. Hallelujah. Because of the power of God. And one day these old graves are going to open up. That's why I put those tombstones on there, you know, so we'll know, God know where to get them. Yeah. Well, you know, in a garden you do that. I even said that at the gravesite. You know, when you plant a garden, you'll put, if it's a small garden, I mean, I don't talk about big farming. Farming, you can't do that. But if you got a little garden out back, you know, my grandfather was a gardener. Was a farmer. My dad had a garden, I have a can opener. But if you plant a little garden, you'll put the stake there with the, you know, the package of the seed on there, because that's what's going to come up, right? Tomatoes, you know, you put a little seed package here, squash, that's what's going to come up here. Well, I think it's interesting we put those tombstones on those graves, because that's what's coming up. Headstones, yeah. Headstones on those graves. We're marking that spot because that's coming up. Hallelujah. One day, this corrupt will put on incorrupt, this mortal will put on immortality, death will be swallowed up of life, hallelujah, and the graves will be opened, and death will lose its sting, hallelujah. That day's coming. It's coming. Woo! And if you still happen to be here, I hope you're not, because if you're here, it's bad news. That means you didn't make the rapture. But if you do, you can kind of peruse through the graveyard, and you can see who was saved or not, because there will be empty graves. Are you with me? On some places and some places it won't. That's kind of morbid. Let's don't think about that. But anyway, I'm going up. Amen. Notice what it says, 1 Corinthians 4, one verse here in the 20th verse. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Oh, I love that. I mean, if we just, I understand everybody pray for it doesn't get healed. I understand every prayer I pray doesn't get answered. I got that. I get that. But I'll tell you one thing. A lot of them do get answered, and a lot of them do get help, and a lot of them do get healed, and the miracles do happen. And if we just prayed and prayed and prayed, and no one ever got healed, no one ever got help, I'd begin to wonder, wouldn't you? Sure. But that's not the case. If you're serious about this, and you're following God, and you're believing God, and you're praying, and you're a person that prays a lot and lifts things up to the Lord, and you're going to see miracles. You're going to see healings. You may not be hitting on all eight cylinders. You may not be 100%, but I can guarantee you this. If you don't ever pray, you'll never have anything happen. Amen? Prayed for a woman just a couple weeks ago up in Michigan, had a knot in her neck, inside her neck. She came to be prayed for. We were in Owosso, a New Creation Church in Owosso. And I preached that morning, preached that night, and that night I had a healing line to pray for this woman. And the next day, a pastor called me up. I was on my way back to Jackson, because I'd preached in Owosso and Jackson and Fenton while I was up there in three different churches. And the pastor called me from Owosso, said that woman called in. She was all excited, said that knot was completely gone. The lump was gone. She was swallowed normal. She was at work. Everything was fine. A healing took place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Praise God. Now, was that me? No, that wasn't me. That was God. But I mean, I pray for a lot of people, nothing happened. But every once in a while, something does happen. I believe when I pray for them, I'm praying and believing that every one of them gets it. You should too every time you pray. But I can guarantee you this, nothing will ever happen if you don't pray. Nothing will ever happen. Are you out there? And the more you pray, the better you get at it too. Of course, it's not always you. Sometimes it's them, and I understand that. But God is a healing God, and he says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Are you with me? He says, pray one for another that you may be healed. He said, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. That's his word. That's what he says, and I believe his word. Amen. Mm. Don't get anything out of this? Good. We'll turn to Hebrews 2 then. Hebrews, miracles, manifestations. You know, we've been saying this lately. Actually, Kelly came up to me a few weeks ago and mentioned this, that she'd heard, I think it's Jerry Savelle had said this, that he started saying manifestations, demonstrations, visitations of the Holy Ghost, something along those lines. And we've said it a few times in our services since then. And, you know, demonstrations, manifestations, and visitations of the Holy Ghost, you know. And you get what you believe for. You get what you pray for. I mean, if you get what you preach on. The Bible says that God manifests his word through preaching. You know, that's pretty simple. So if I were to preach on finances, you know, and which I've taught series on different subjects. But if I teach on, it's amazing when I teach on tithing, people start tithing. Hello. That's why some preachers just preach on it all the time. But if I preach on baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, people start getting baptized with the Holy Ghost. If I preach on healing, people start getting healed. Why is that? Because God manifests his word through preaching. And, of course, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith come by hearing, hearing by the word. So whatever subject we're on, whatever minister on, it seems like you have testimonies to that effect because you're stirred with it. You're thinking about it. You're meditating on it. You're acting on it. And obviously what we act on, what we call on, and what we stand on, that's what we're going to have. I mean, that's what God told Joshua. He said, wherever you put the sole of your foot, that have I given you. So as we minister along the lines of people get excited and they put their foot on something. They put their foot down on that promise. They start believing for that thing. Are you with me? Y'all don't sound real excited this morning. But if whatever we minister on, whatever we preach on, we get manifestations of. I mean, that's just real simple. And so, you know, that's why you need to cover, as a pastor, you need to cover several subjects. We need to teach on salvation. We need to teach series on how to be saved, what it means to be saved, righteousness, and we need to teach on healing, baptism, Holy Ghost, gifts of the Spirit. We'll teach on gifts of the Spirit and have more manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Are you out there? Yeah. Whatever we minister on, we preach on love. People start forgiving one another. It's amazing. Whereas you mean old thing, you just finally realize you need to repent. You know, we preach on love enough, you go, I'm wrong, I got to repent. And we hear testimonies of people that forgave and repented because we're preaching on that. Hallelujah. Because, see, God, this is just something that you see in the Bible. God will confirm his word. Jeremiah 1:12 says he watches over his word to perform it. Okay? So some people say, well, you know, I've been going to this other church and I don't ever see such happen in that church. But it seemed like when they go over in this other church here, it happens in this church, but it doesn't happen in that church. Well, they probably don't preach on it, do they? Isn't that right? y'all catching this? Okay. Good people love God, but, you know, there are certain parts of the Bible they may not preach on. And you know what? Don't get results in that area because they don't ever preach on that area. They never talk about that. And so that never happens. And it's not ever going to happen until someone starts preaching on it. Someone starts talking about it. Someone starts sharing it. Because God's waiting here to confirm his word. His word has not been preached. There's nothing to confirm. Amen? Because I know people sometimes come from denominational, God bless churches. I am pro-church. I'm not against Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. I thank God for every church that's preaching Jesus. I do realize they don't preach all of Jesus, but they do preach salvation. They preach being saved. But you'll hear some people come and they'll say, man, you don't hear about testimonies of healing in your church. I never really heard that in this other church. And y'all actually lay hands on people and, you know, put your hands on them and say in Jesus' name and some of that other weird stuff. You know, ooh, shalalabalalabala. What is that? You know, I don't ever hear that. Well, because we don't preach on the other church, you wouldn't have heard it over there. don't hate them, not bad people, but, you know, they never minister along those lines, and so there's no manifestation of it. So if you want a manifestation of something, you need to start talking about it and praying it and preaching it. Pretty simple, amen? Yeah. Notice what it says here, Hebrews 2, verse 1. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. See, I think most cases, especially us who are Holy Ghost people, we believe in the Bible, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, we believe in healing, we believe God hears us when we pray. I don't think it's complicated stuff that gets us, it's simple stuff we let slip. We kind of get out of the habit, you know, of praying or believing or praying in other tongues or asking for healing or asking for an answer. We just kind of put up with things that we should be overcoming. We endure things that we have promises to overcome. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, angels brought a message in the Old Testament. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? The Old Testament, you had visitations of angels and so on that would show up and say things, and they had to listen to what the angels said. New Testament, we have Jesus, God who at sundry times and many manners spoke to us in the past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Jesus now brings us the message. Jesus now is the message. Are you with me? Now, if they had to listen to the angels in the Old Testament, how much more should we listen to the Lord from heaven? Amen. Woo! Oh, come on. Somebody say amen. Jesus brought us this message. Jesus is this message. This is not some angel from heaven visiting us. This is God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Now, they had to give heed to the angels. How much more should we give heed to the Lord, this great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those that heard him, God also bearing them, the apostles and early disciples, witness both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. God what? God bearing them witness. God bears witness to the truth we preach. This word is not just word only. This is word with power. This is not just enticing words of man's wisdom, but demonstration of the Holy Spirit and in power. Any one of us could testify how God saved us. We're living proof. Are you with me? I am a message written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, known and read of all men. I am a gospel. You are a gospel. You are a message. You are the good news. Your deliverance, your salvation, your forgiveness, you being a new creature in Christ, you being saved, you being healed, you being delivered, whatever the case may be, every one of us is a message to the power of God. It's kind of like remember John 9 where that blind man Jesus healed, and the man didn't even know who healed him. Jesus healed him, and his eyes popped open, and the Pharisees got all upset about it because Jesus is going around healing people. And they pinned him and they questioned him and they said, we know God doesn't hear sinners. You know, they automatically said Jesus is a sinner. Can you believe telling people Jesus was a sinner? Boy, they were corrupt, evil people. And who healed you? How'd you get your sight? We know God doesn't hear sinners. Couldn't have been that man. And this man, he's not educated in the arena that they are educated in. He's not a Pharisee or a Sadducee. He's not an academic, as it were, but he's standing there and he says, well, I kind of picture an old farmer standing here, you know, the wisdom of a farmer. And he's standing there and he says, well, he said, now, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I do know this, I was blind and now I see. Are you with me? And that shut the whole argument down. And it said they could not say anything against it. Because all your philosophy and all your concepts and all your argument doesn't change the fact the man can see. He was blind, and now he sees. Now, I don't know all the ramifications and all the different nuances, theology you could bring up with, you know, about Jesus and being God and so on and so forth. I do know this. I was lost, and now I'm found. I know I was lost. and I know I'm found. I just know, I know I've been delivered. I can show you some scripture. I can show you all kinds of verses. But see, the biggest proof, the greatest proof is I'm just not the same anymore. I'm a totally different person. Something happened to me. I actually met him. I'm not just talking about him. I met him. I know him. See, if you want to tell me Jesus doesn't save, you want to tell me Jesus doesn't heal, you want to tell me Jesus doesn't do this, it's too late. It's too late. I messed up. I went ahead and got saved and got healed before you told me that. Okay? I've already been delivered. It's too late. Too late. Can't talk me out of it. Thank God I got everything I needed from God before I found out what he could not do. Are you out there? See, this is the power of God we're talking about. This is the real deal. This is not some ideal. This is not some concept. This is not some religion. This is the truth. This is the truth. God really does hear us. God really does answer us. God really does move in our life. God really does heal. God really does deliver. God really does save. God really does change lives. Oh, my, my, my. So many different ways. So many different ways. You know, I shared this the other day, and I just thought, how do you even put that thing together? I was, the beginning of the year, you know, Amanda called me up and said she's got two words for this year, and I know you've heard the story. Many of you heard it. High cotton. Because I used to say, you know, I've picked high cotton, low cotton, no cotton. High cotton's better. You don't have to bend down. You don't have to bend over. You just high cotton, you know. That's a good year. And it resonated with me in my spirit. I thought, yeah, that's it. I like that, honey. That's good. I mean, it just went off in me. And I even shared that to the church. I said, this is going to be a high cotton year. You know, felt like God had spoke to her when she's praying for the church. And it has been. It's been a great year. It's great things. Well, Jonathan, you know, he was down, and, you know, some of you heard it, some of you hadn't, but Jonathan was down, and he was investing some of the money from his company. He was buying some houses in Fort Worth area, and he purchased three houses over there, and I asked if I could share this. So anyway, and I came in one afternoon, this is about a month ago, I came in one afternoon, walked into the living room, and or the sitting room, and on the table, dining room. I'll get it in a minute. There's only so many rooms. I'll get it in a minute. Bedroom, bathroom, kitchen. Dining room. Okay. And on that dining room table was a manila package. It had high cotton dash Williams. I mean, really, it was like this. I was going. I walked over and grabbed that package. I thought, what in the world? I've been saying is high cotton. Man, I got these two words, high cotton. So I opened up, and Jonathan comes around the corner. He was in the, back in the bedroom. He says, hey, Dad, what are you doing to my stuff? And he was laughing. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Was your stuff? What do you mean your stuff? And he says, that's mine. I said, well, what does it say high cotton Williams on it? He said, well, that's the first house I bought. And I said, well, you naming your houses? And he says, no, that's the name. He said, I've got, that's my garage keys. Garage door keys in that package. I got two other packages in the back. That was the first one I bought. I said, why does it say high cotton? He said, well, that's what the realtor put on it. I said, what does he name the houses? Does he name? He said, no, that's the street it's on, High Cotton Dash Williams. Oh, man. Holy Ghost bumps all up and down my arms, you know. I was going, Jonathan, do you know the high cotton story? And he didn't have a clue. He said, what are you talking about? He didn't even write it. The realtor wrote that. High Cotton Dash Williams. First of all, I never heard of a street called High Cotton. But that was the first house he bought. Then I told him the story. And, I mean, I took a picture on my phone and texted it to Amanda right away. And I know she cried looking at it. Because, I mean, how do you put those kinds of things together? Are you going to tell me that's coincidence? What kind of conspiracy world are you living in where everybody... I mean, the realtor writes it down, and, oh, come on. See, that was just God just encouraging us. I mean, it just, I tell you what, encouraged me. Woo. I mean, it got all over me more than anywhere else. And just sharing it, I mean, what a blessing it is to share it. I mean, you get something, too, because you're thinking, wow. You got to be thinking, wow, don't you? I mean, come on. Is there a God? Yeah. That and many other ways I know there's a God. But there are things that happen that cannot be explained. Other than God doing what he does. Hallelujah. Turn to Acts 2. this helping anybody? God confirms his word with signs following. Amen?
Amen.
But he doesn't confirm just anything. Are you with me? He confirms his word. So what are you standing on? That's a good question. How would you like to see the power of God in your life? Boy, I would. Well, as I'm trusting, as I'm believing, then the power will come. Amen? I got to believe there's something behind all this. I got to believe, I got to hear the voice behind the verse. Does that make sense? This is not just a formula. I know there are some principles. I got that. I understand that. But see, there's a voice behind the verse. It's the voice of God. It's God speaking to us. This is God's word. This is God's promise. This is what God said he would do. Amen? And you and I, we need to be looking around for the power, for the witness, for the manifestation, demonstration, manifestation, visitations of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need to be seeing. Notice what it says here. Just one verse, and I'll turn to another, and we'll wrap this up. Acts 2, verse 22, and it's talking to Jesus, talking about Jesus. Peter is preaching, and it says, "Ye men of Israel," Acts 2, verse 22, "hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." Notice what it says, a man approved of God. I like that. Because God does testify to his word with miracles, signs, and wonders. He does bear witness with manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what we read over there in Hebrews 2, verse 4? Here, Acts 2, 22, it says that God approved of him. Approved of him by miracles, wonders, and signs. Which brings up the question, why do we need the supernatural? Why do we need all that? We don't need all that. Well, I guess we do need all that. It's what separates us from all other religions. It's what separates us from all other philosophies. It is the proof of the pudding. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. I mean, we come here and people's lives are changed. Are you with me? Miracles take place. Healings take place. Prayers get answered. As I said before, we could stay here all day long and all night and all through the next day and probably week and week after week after week testifying to what God has done. If you were to list all the things that God has done in your life, just supernaturally healed you, blessed you, answered your prayer, spared you, gave you a favor, are you with me? Whew! It goes on and on and on. Because this kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not in word only, but in power. And it's not about enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. You notice how Jesus went about the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching in their villages, and healing all the sick that were therein? Matthew 9:35 tells us that. Notice that just a part of his ministry was healing. You notice he sent his disciples out, and he said, "Go out there and heal the sick and raise dead, cast out devils, and tell them the kingdom of God's come near." He sent out the 12. Luke 10, he sent out 70. 70 others also told him to do the same thing. And when the church was born, after the church, Jesus paid the price, rose from the dead, and ascended up into heaven in Acts, the first chapter. The last thing he says, "You tarry in Jerusalem. You wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, for the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses unto me into Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, and other most parts of the earth." He didn't want them to go out without the power. He didn't want them to go out without the confirmation, without the bearing witness, without the approval, without the manifestation. He didn't want them to just preach words, but also demonstrate power. Excuse me for getting excited. In other words, we should stand up here with full authority and say that when you trust God and believe God, something's going to happen. That when you call on him, he's going to hear you. This is not a powerless, weak Jesus. This is a real Jesus, amen? This is a living Jesus. This is a caring Jesus. This is a compassionate Jesus, hallelujah. Mark 16. Oh, please, somebody say this is helping you. Yeah.
Yes.
My You know where I'm going to. In every one of these verses, you've heard them over and over. Come on. We need to hear them again. Amen. We need to hear them until we get them. Hallelujah. I can think of times God's blessed us here in the church and physical manifestations, healings, miracles, finances. I mean, it's just amazing what God can do. And we got to get our faith in God. We got to put our trust in God. Sure, we do everything we can do, but we put what we can't do in God's hands. We do everything we can do and trust God for the rest. And if I'm doing everything I can do and I'm trusting God for the rest, he's going to do what he says. Amen? Thank you, Henry. Amen. Yeah. He said he'd supply all of our needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, sometimes you've got to turn the news off. Did you know that? Because if it weren't for bad news, we'd have no news at all. Hello. And I watch the news too, but I get so stirred up sometimes, I just got to go repent. I watch the news too long, and I get in sin. Man, I get so mad and get upset, and, you know, just not good. Not good. You know, and I don't agree with so much that's going on in our country. So much has changed in our country. But you know what? God hasn't changed. God's still the same. I can still serve God. I can still have joy. My children can still serve God. My grandchildren can still serve God. Are you with me? I can go on. I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah. I'm praying for this nation. I don't like what's going on. But you know, nobody's going to tell me what to preach. No government's going to come and tell me I can preach for, I can't preach that, I can't preach. Are you kidding? I have a Supreme Court and it's in heaven. Hallelujah. It's not nine knuckleheads up in Washington somewhere trying to make decisions. Are you kidding me? I preach the word. That's what I preach. I answer to God. I don't answer to them. Hallelujah. I pray for them. I don't hate them. Are you with me? I pray for them. But come on, nothing's going to change here. You're not in a box. You're not trapped. You ever feel that way? See, when you watch news, you start feeling that way. You feel like you're losing something. You lost our country. We lost. It's changing. Well, no. Nothing's changed for you. Nothing's changed in heaven. Nothing's changed in the Word. We're going to have to double down, obviously. We're going to have to believe. We're going to have to get serious about this. Obviously, we need to get more passionate about serving God. But our future is secure. Hallelujah. I'm still going to heaven. Woo! Hallelujah! I am going to heaven. How about you? Yes. The streets of gold. I'm going there. I'm going to live forever there. Like that guy. What that guy said? It was Branson, Missouri. He was imitating a preacher. He said, "Honolulu, I want to go there." Well, I'm not going to Honolulu. I'm going to heaven. And it's a whole lot better than Honolulu. Okay. Wrap this up. Okay. Man, you don't get through, you just quit. Mark 16 chapter. Notice what it says in 15th verse. It says, he said unto them, go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's what I preach, hallelujah. Listen, you watch the news all day long. You read the newspaper. You listen to the radio. You hear the bad news. Come on down here to International Outreach Church and you can hear some good news. I preach the gospel. I preach the good news. You say, well, you don't preach hell? Oh, yeah, I preach hell. Hell's real, but I preach the good news. You don't have to go there. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Amen? Come on out. Come out of your sin. Come out of your adulterous affair. Come out of your homosexuality. Come on. Come out of it. Repent of it. It's a sin. It's wrong. Don't hate you. But you can't live that way. You can't keep going that way. You got to turn around. You got to quit. You got to repent. But if you repent, come out of your drunkenness. Come on. Come out of your drugs. Come out. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Jesus didn't just come to deliver you from the consequences of your sin. He came to deliver you from your sin. Hallelujah. You don't have to keep living that way. I got good news. You can turn around. Amen? Okay, he says this. Preach the gospel. Good news to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I believe. How about you? These signs shall follow them that believe. You see a pattern here? Paul said demonstration of the Spirit and power. The kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. God bearing them witness with signs and wonders and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. A man approved of God by miracles, signs, wonders. And here, these signs shall follow them that believe. Did you know if you will believe, God will put a sign up? Just put a sign up. Be a miracle. be a healing, be a changed life. And everywhere I go, signs pop up. Signs follow those that believe. You want some signs? Believe. Amen. Start believing, signs start popping up. Change lives, miracles, joy, peace. Oh, come on now. Woo! Am I going to have to put a little sugar on this? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Now he's talking about the power of the devil. He's not talking about Tennessee or mountains up there in the Kentucky mountains or where it was. And was that guy in that song? He was sitting in the back and they brought the snakes out and he said something about, do you have a back door? And they said no. And he said, where do you want one? He's gone. The Bible says that, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. That's what he's talking about in Luke 10:19. In Revelation 12, it talks about the devil, and it says the tempter. So he's talking about the devil. We'll take up the devil's power. And with drinking a deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Because they were being poisoned back then, but that was a promise that you wouldn't be poisoned. I mean, you wouldn't die. He didn't say go out and drink poison and take up snakes. He was talking about the power of the devil, and he was talking about a promise here. And that sign would follow you. You'd be delivered when others die. Are you with me? Mm. And he ends up with this. He says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Well, why don't we ever see miracles around here? Do you ever preach miracles? He confirms the word with signs following. He confirms whatever it is you preach. Amen? That's in line with his word. So we got to get on with the program. Amen? We got to get on with manifestations, demonstrations, visitations of the Holy Ghost. We need to start praying and believing God for manifestations. I want to see more miracles. How about you? I would like to see more people healed, delivered, and set free. How about you? I'd like to see people get full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. See more gifts flowing and so on. Well, that's not going to happen unless we preach on it, minister on it, talk about it, lay it out, get people's faith stirred up for it. Amen. Listen, I don't know about you, but you're going to need a miracle one day. You may be fine right now, but there's going to come a day you're going to need a miracle. You're going to need one. There's a third day song which talks about that. It says there's going to come a time when you're going to need a miracle. Can't remember the name of the song now, but anyway, and that's true with all of us. There came a time in Brother Osteen's life when he needed a miracle. John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad, he was a Southern Baptist preacher, God Bless Baptist. He was preaching at Hibbing Memorial Baptist, and didn't believe in healing, didn't believe in gifts of the Spirit, didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and had a daughter named Lisa, and she was born with cerebral palsy. In about 4 months, she couldn't lift her head, and something was wrong. He began to cry out, and he couldn't reconcile that. The idea that God didn't want to heal his daughter, that God had some purpose or reason for it. He couldn't reconcile it when he got in the Scripture. He found out that God was a healing God, and God was a good God. And you know what? He started believing for healing, and she wound up getting healed. He wound up getting baptized with the Holy Ghost, and got the left foot of fellowship from the Baptist. And he started a church. He actually still a Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost now, speaking in tongues. 1958, he got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he started Lakewood Baptist Church. And then a storm came through and knocked the Baptist off. And so they decided, well, hey, we'll just call it Lakewood. True story. And it's been Lakewood ever since. And now Joel Osteen, of course, you've probably heard of Joel. He's a guy on TV. Yeah, that's John Osteen's son. But it started with a miracle. It started with a hunger. It started with a passion. It started with somebody crying out to God. It started out with someone who needed a miracle. And they knew where to go to get one. And they did. Because of that, I'm here. Because when I got saved, I wound up over at Lakewood Church, and I got full of the Holy Ghost over there in a Kenneth Hagin meeting. And God called me to teach at Lakewood Church. And God called me to pastor at Lakewood Church. And God sent me to Wills Point, Texas from Lakewood Church. Think about it. Think about all the dots you got to connect to make those things happen. Somebody needed a miracle.
John Osteen. Cried out to God and got one. And then it just mushroomed on down, you know. And here I am because of that. God used him to bless us. Praise God.